Today's shir is Masechta Chulin Daf Samach Dalet. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Samach Gimel on the Bay's five lines from the bottom. We begin the discussion of eggs, and that the halacha is that one is allowed to eat eggs, obviously only if they come from a kosher bird. And the Gemara is going to identify how we can know an egg is from a kosher bird. When can we know that the egg is from a kosher bird? There's an interesting tshuva from the Chasam Sofer in Yerideya Simen Yotes. Why we are allowed to eat eggs? The reason we know that we're allowed to eat eggs is from the din of Shiluach HaKain. The Torah Akdosha says that if you find a nest, Kimatza Kan Tzipa Shalach to Shalach HaSaim, we have to send away the mother. And we keep the children. So the fact that the Torah permits us to have the children is a proof that we're allowed to eat eggs. But the Chasam Sofer points out that that special halacha that we're learning from here, that the eggs are permitted, is only a pasuk that was said to Klal Yisrael, who have the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. Nachrim would not be allowed to eat egg, because Nachrim, it would be a concern of Eva Menachai. Therefore, one would not be allowed to eat an egg from a chicken, from a mother who's still alive. And then the question would be, if one is allowed to sell or serve eggs to a Nachrim, because if a Nachrim is not allowed to eat an egg, because Nachrim are not allowed to have Eva Menachai, then the halacha would be that there's an Isser of Lifnei Iver, that we're not allowed to serve something to a Nachri that he's not allowed to eat. Some of the Paiskim that were lenient, which is very difficult leniency, so well, it's only mutter if the Nachri say, I want to wait for the egg to become a chicken. First of all, most people don't buy eggs for chicken. And as we're going to learn extensively in our shiur today, that the eggs that are safna da'ara cannot form into a chicken, so one can't say I'm selling it to the Nachri for a chicken. But then there are other paiskim that suggest, and it's going to be quite clear from our Gemara, that it's not considered Eva Menachai. The issue with an egg is that since it's separate, it won't be considered Eva Menachai. Rather, what is the issue when we speak about eggs? The issue is that it's Yoytze Min HaTamei. If it comes out of a non-kosher bird, so if the non-kosher bird is not permissible, so too is the egg not permissible. But if that's the case, then there wouldn't be a problem by Nachrim, because by Nachrim is no concept of a non-kosher bird. But says the Gemara, begins the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan Lochem Beitzim, we have to come, we're allowed to buy eggs from a Nachrim, we come welcome anywhere. Then Chayshim, We need not be concerned that the mother from which this egg came is a nevela. We need not be concerned that the egg is coming from a mother that's a trefa. The Brisa, explains the Ran, is coming to teach us, as we've been learning in our shiurim, there are different locations, and in some locations there were more non-kosher birds than in other. In some locations, there were more non-kosher birds than in other locations. And what our Gemara is teaching us is that in every location that if we have the proof, as we're going to be discussing extensively in our shiur, that this is an egg from a kosher bird, we're allowed to eat from that bird. And even though, as we're learning, a bird that was killed and turns out to not be killed proper shchita, so it's a nevela, or it turns out to be a trefa, as we looked at it, the halacha will be that the egg may be, we need not be concerned, and we're allowed to eat the egg. But ask the Gemara, why should we not be concerned? Why should we not be concerned that maybe this mother, it's coming from a non-kosher bird? So, of course, Tosfos asked the question that we just learned in our previous shiur, that there are only 24 non-kosher birds. So most birds are kosher. So why don't we just rely on the roif? Says Tosfos, that although the Gemara said there are 24 non-kosher birds, so first Taisa says a chiddush. Taisa wants to say it's not to mean that there aren't more. The 24 non-kosher birds that the Torah identified, that's the pasuk pshat. That's a chiddush, because we learned that 24 non-kosher birds and only 24 non-kosher birds, nothing more. So the other teretz is that, as we've learned, the nesher is the example of the prime example of a non-kosher bird, and there are many birds that are in the family of a nesher, and therefore what the Gemara means to say is that since the nesher is such a popular common bird, even though there are only 24 non-kosher birds, there are many birds that are not kosher. Another explanation that I saw is that we have to include many different sfeikas. First of all, there are many non-kosher birds. Number two, even from the kosher birds, as we just started this year, there are birds that could be a trefa or a nevela. So if we combine all of these different considerations, we'll end up having a lot of birds, a lot of non-kosher birds. Another pshat is that the Gemara is questioning that, yes, in certain locations, maybe even many locations, the majority of birds are kosher birds. But there are locations where the majority of birds are not kosher. And what the Gemara means to ask is that if you're buying a bird, that if you're getting an egg, maybe we're saying you're always allowed to eat the egg. And the question now is, why should we not be concerned that maybe the location you're in, the majority of birds in that location are non-kosher, and that should prevent you from being allowed to eat the eggs. And the last pshat that I saw is a pshat that we've quoted previously in our shurim, a rivash. Where the rivash teaches us, the Torah goes out of its way to tell us, l'havdil ben atamei v'atar, ben achaya necheles, ben achaya she'ena necheles. What the Torah wants to tell us with that is that we have an obligation that before we eat, we have to ascertain, and we have to ascertain without any question that this is kosher. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, how can we be confident and know for sure that it's kosher just because somebody comes and says it's kosher? And if we don't have full-fledged proof that it's 100% kosher, then the halacha should be that we should not be allowed to eat it unless we have unequivocal proof to that effect. And again, therefore, ask the Gemara, Dilma de'ef tamei ninhu, maybe this egg is a non-kosher egg, Amar Avud Shmuel, to which Avud Shmuel answers, our Gemara is referring to a case, Ba'omer, when the egg is being sold, it's being told to us, Shal oif plani tahar. The egg is coming from this kosher bird. There's a question, who is the one that's selling it? But most Rishonim explained that the Gemara is speaking about, even if we're buying this egg from a Nachri, if the Nachri reports that this is the egg from this kosher bird, we'll have to eat it. Says the Gemara, why v'lei mishalayf tar? Why does he have to specify which kosher bird? If his saying that it's coming from a kosher bird is adequate, so why wouldn't he just not have to? Why would he have to do more than just saying that? Answers the Gemara, Ihachi, if he doesn't have to give the level of detail of what kosher bird it came from, we need to be concerned, that if it turns out that what he said is not true, he'll say, well, maybe it wasn't from that bird, it's from a different bird. But if he's required to specifically identify from which bird it comes, then there's much less of a concern that he is saying something that's not true. But ask the Gemara, v'livdik b'simonim, as we're about to learn, there are different ways to identify a kosher egg. So if there's different ways to identify a kosher egg, so why don't we just check through those simonim, and we'll be able to determine if it's a kosher egg. So if that's the case, ask many mefarshim, why did the Gemara make this point right at the beginning? So some say, But the Gemara is suggesting that the Gemara thought that we're allowed to buy eggs any time and rely on the simonim. But now the Gemara is saying that we have to, not, we can't just be so lenient. So we can't be so lenient. So what we should always have to do is rely on simonim. Another way of understanding the Gemara's question that Tzlach suggests is that the Gemara means to say, if indeed we're concerned that this Nachri is lying to us, so why don't we just check the simonim, and like that we'll know the truth, the Tanya. And now the Gemara identifies what are the simonim of a kosher egg. So the Gemara begins with a brisa, ki simonim beim kach simonim dogim. Just like we know what are the signs of an egg, so are the signs of the fish. Ask the Gemara, how can we compare it to simonim dogim sakatatach? When we speak about fish, the Torah is very explicit. Snap of a kaskasis on rechmana, the what makes a kosher fish, if it has fins and scales. So that isn't passable by eggs. And you're saying that whatever makes an egg kosher, makes a fish kosher, but they actually have no connection. Al-Aima says, the way to understand it is as follows. Kach simona uvri dogim. The fish eggs, just like we have simona for an egg, the simonim for fish eggs are the same as the simonim of regular eggs. The Tanya, and says the Gemara, the Brisa teaches us Gabi Bayim, when we speak about eggs of birds, Eilu simonim bayim, what are the simonim of a kosher egg? Kol shekederes vagogolas. Anything that's round, but it's not round like a ball, not a perfect circle, more like a sphere. Roisha achat chad, moreover, an egg was, one end of the egg is not that pointy. Roisha achat chad, and the other head is pointy. Those are the simonim of a kosher egg. But if you have shnei roshim kadim, if both top and bottom of the egg are very rounded, or shnei roshim chadim, or they're both very pointy, then tameim, that's actually a non-kosher bird. I saw that Reb Zalman Sirotskin says a very cute word. He says, if you have somebody that is very sharp on one side, and the other hand, he's kad, he's settled, he's stable, that is a kosher bird. But if you have somebody who's just kad, very sharp, but not stable, or somebody who's just stable, but not intelligent, that is not kosher. Continues the Braisa, Chelboin, if the white of the egg is mubichutz, on the outside, the Chelboin, and the yellow is on the inside, mubifnim, that's a tahir, that's a kosher egg, kosher bird, egg coming from a kosher bird. Chelboin, mubichutz, but if the yellow is on the outside, the Chelboin, mubifnim, and the white is in the inside, tameya, that is a non-kosher bird. If you have the white and the yellow mixed together, says the Gemara, that's the bay of a sheretz. Of course, it's not kosher. So we very much see that there are simonim to eggs. So ask the Gemara, if it's so clear that there are simonim to eggs, why do we have to do, why is there any problem in buying eggs from a nachri when you could just look at the simonim? Answers, Gemara le'tzricha dechatuchas. We're talking about a case where the eggs are cut, and therefore, since the egg is cut, it's unpeeled. Since the egg is cut, it's unpeeled, so therefore we can't tell from the shape of the egg. Ask the Gemara of Levdik b'chelma b'chelbay, why should we not be concerned? Why don't we still have a way of investigating? We could look at as the way we just discussed, the way the yolk and the white of the egg are, that if they're in the right way, we should be able to assume that it's a kosher egg. And says the Gemara, but truth is Bikar. We're talking about where the egg was already mixed. And once the yellow and the white was mixed, so therefore that can't be a simon. So the Rajbah makes the point that even though the Gemara began with two simonim, the shape of the egg and the yellow and the white, so the halacha is that one, even though we started with two simonim, the halacha is that if we have just one simon, we would be allowed to eat the egg. And this question, of course, is a very relevant question when somebody were to buy egg powder or eggs that are already canned eggs. So we don't, the egg powder, of course, we can't see the yellow and the white. Eggs that are in a jar that the yellow and the white is all mixed. So the aloha, what would be the aloha by buying an egg? So says the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeya 7 Pevav Sif Beis Paskins, that since most eggs that we have nowadays are from kosher birds, if the person tells us that the egg came from a kosher bird, that is sufficient. But the Rama says that's not so simple. The Rama says we have to have more of a proof. The Shach says that the Rama's opinion is that only in a case where we could easily identify that the egg we're looking at is a kosher egg, that's when we're allowed to eat it. Otherwise, not. So according to this understanding, the buying powdered eggs or these canned eggs would be a machlokes of the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama. According to Shulchan Aruch, if we're told by the person who's selling these eggs that they come from a kosher bird, that would be sufficient. And according to Rama, it would not be sufficient. It's interesting that the Taz says that even we don't paskin like the Rama, and that we can rely on the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, particularly in a place where most eggs that are sold come from kosher birds. But not everybody, but the Rama doesn't say that. And therefore, the question is, can we buy such a product? The Shas HaTshuvas Chelkas Yaakov Yerodeya Simen Yudalid seems to take a lenient approach. The Michas Yitzchak, however, in Chelek Bey Simen Samaches, says that one should not buy eggs from just because they're being told that it's from a kosher bird. If there's no way of being able to see the eggs, that to tell independently that these are from kosher birds, we should not eat them. I did see that there are those that say we could rely on government statement declaration. Michas Yitzchak says that we cannot rely on that. And the Shevet Levi also seems to teach us that we have to be very careful when we buy anything that is an egg, that we can't identify that it's a kosher egg. The halacha is that we should not use it without being independently able to verify that it's a kosher egg, or it's an egg that has hashgacha, and the supervisory agency is making sure that this is a kosher egg. And this is the halacha in Yerodeya Siman Pei Vav Sif Aleph Simanim Bayim, the Simanim for egg lahak shemayif tayr, and we say that all the simanim that are mentioned in our shir. Again, there is machlokes. We just learned the machlokes apayskim. If we could be lenient in a place where there are only or mostly kosher eggs, the Chalkes Yaakov is lenient. There are many paiskim that take a much stricter approach to this discussion. Ask the Gemara, the key government is Meninhei. Is there ever a case, ask the Gemara, where the eggs were already cracked open and mixed, that we should be allowed to buy those eggs? Ask the Gemara of Tanya, didn't we learn in a Braisa, a Moichen Bey Trefel of the Coven? We're not allowed to sell the egg of a non-kosher chicken or a trefa to a Nachri, because we're concerned that the Nachri may sell that to a Yisrael. Elm Cain, when may we do so? When it's true for Bekara, when it's already mixed in a bowl. Since it's already mixed in a bowl, the halacha is we're not concerned that any Yisrael will buy such an egg from a nachri, because we're not allowed to buy, we're only allowed to buy eggs that are clearly identifiable as kosher. And therefore, continues the Gemara, l'fikach ein loichem bein trufas bekara, we're not allowed to buy from the nachrim any eggs that are mixed in a bowl, because we can't tell anymore that it's a kosher bird. And the same issue, actually, this is another reason, amongst the many other reasons, why we would not be allowed to buy any food item that has eggs in it from a nachri. Because just the eggs alone make it also to buy if we can't be able to independently verify that it was kosher eggs. El Amar Rav Zeira, so if now we have the question, if the only type of egg that we could buy from a nachri is a whole egg, and we're learning now that whole eggs have simonim, so why do we have to have the nachri give us testimony on the egg? El Amar Rav Zeira, simonim lav deraisa. The simonim are not deraisa, and therefore we can't just rely on the simonim to say it's a kosher egg. Dilai teimahachi, if we will not say that, says Mahadar Ravasi, Shmaina Sveikasim. We have a question about eight birds. What is their status, kosher or non-kosher? Says the Gemara, but if what we're saying now is absolutely correct, that we could identify a kosher bird, a kosher egg, so then why don't we just look at the eggs of these birds, live the Bebeim Dedhu, examine their eggs, and we'll be able to determine if they're kosher or not. Elash Mamina, from here we see that simonim alav deraisa, that the simonim are not reliable on. And the main reason I saw that the Rishonim explain, because there are some non-kosher eggs that do look like kosher eggs, and therefore we can't rely on those simonim. Says the Gemara, Elamai HaKsuktanilah. So if that's the case, so we just learned the Braisa that identifies all of the simonim. Ask the Gemara, why do we need to have those simonim if they're not reliable? So what does the Braisa mean to tell it us? Says the Gemara, HaKam, this is what the Braisa means to say. Shnei Rishayim Kadim, at both ends of the egg are flattish, roundish. Shnei Rishayim Kadim, both are pointy. If the yellow is on the outside and the white is on the inside, Vade Tamea, we certainly have a non-kosher egg, and therefore the bird it comes from will obviously be non-kosher. Rishah Chad Chad, but if the two heads are pointy, or Rishah Chad Chad, one is pointy and one is round, the white is on the outside, the yellow is on the inside. For Amalach, and then the person who's selling you, the Nachri, who's selling you this egg, tells you, Shalal Ay Plani, it comes from this bird, which is Tahru, Smaich Lehem, we could rely. Because when we have all of these factors, that they have the Simonim, and the Nachri is also giving us this testimony, then we could eat the egg. Stama, but if he's not giving you the testimony that it's coming from this specific type of kosher bird, on that we cannot rely, because the Ika Urva, as we're saying, that there's the raven eggs, the Domila Yoina, the pigeon eggs, and the Yoina eggs are very similar. So just to rely on the Simonim is not enough that the bird should be considered kosher. And therefore, the halacha will be that in the absence of absolute testimony that this egg came from a kosher bird, just relying that on the way the egg looks, then the halacha is that we can't rely on that. However, I did see that the Rashba suggests that that's only if we don't have a clearly kosher egg in front of us. But we have a clearly kosher egg in front of us, and we compare this egg to that clearly kosher egg, and we see that they're the same, so then we can be lenient. Amar Mas, says the Gemara, Chelmon v'Chelmon Merovin, if the white and the yellow are mixed together, B'yidushi Beis HaSheretz, that is a proof that's a Beis HaSheretz. Says the Gemara, Maya Hilchasa. Why do we have to know if it's a sheretz? Why would it make a difference in halacha if it's the egg of a sheretz or if it's the egg of a bird that's tamei? Amar of Akva b'chuma loymishim rikma. If the sheretz already formed for nikva and then there's a hole in the egg, matame b'kadasha. The halacha is that the sheretz is only going to be tamei when the egg shell is somewhat cracked. But if it's completely encircled by the eggshell, then there's no tumah sheretz yet. But ask the Gemara, how can we say that when we have the yellow and the white mixed, it's an indication that's from a sheretz, and therefore as the sheretz gives tumah, this egg gives tumah, maskla ravina v'dimah d'nachashi, maybe this is the egg of a snake. That also, the eggs of a snake are similar to the eggs of a sheretz, but as nachash, it doesn't give tumah. Ella Amarava, says the Gemara, why do we know that it's a base of sheretz? Shemrikma, if we see in this egg that with a sheretz is forming, and you eat it, you'll get makas for eating a sheretz. Ihachi asked the Gemara, that if there's something forming in the egg that's considered a sheretz, my ear the tmeya, why would that be the case only by the egg of a non-kosher, even by the egg of a kosher min? The Tanya, the pasuk says, "Kol sheretz a sheretz al aretz." The rabbis afroichim that if you have a chick that started forming an egg, shloi niftachay nayim, that they didn't open up their eye, it's already at that point it's considered a sheretz. And for here we see a very bechidush, says the Pri Chodesh. We had an extensive conversation the other day about a sheretz that forms in a fruit or a vegetable as it's connected to the ground or it's connected to the tree. And we learned that that is in the category of sheretz or sheretz laretz. Now we're learning that even something that's formed while it's in the eggshell could be in the category of sheretz or sheretz al aretz. So if that's the case, it's also because of sheretz. So the question is, what's the difference if it's the beya of a sheretz or it's the beya of a regular chicken? Answers the Gemara, b'drabonin. The entire discussion that we're having here is only psukim b'drabonin across, this entire issue is only b'drabonin, the cross only smacked by alma. Continues the Gemara, tan rabbanan gulei beyim. The bird, the eggs of non-kosher birds that were cooked together with the eggs of a kosher bird, mataris, they don't become usur because the tam that travels from one egg to the tam that travels from one egg to another egg is a very weak tam. Some say it's of weak tam, some say it's no tam at all, and therefore it won't be a problem. Beim zoris. However, if we have eggs from a chicken, from a hen, that wasn't fertilized by a male, but rather the way this chicken, these eggs were fertilized, were by a safna da'ara, by the heat. So the halacha is that can never become a chicken. Nefesh yachet ha'echlem, those eggs were apparently not usually eaten, but there's no problem that they're going to become a chicken, but they are not considered good eggs. And therefore the halacha is only somebody who's not an istanis, only someone who's not particular about what he eats should eat those eggs. But from here we learn a very interesting halacha. The Gemara is suggesting that only somebody who's a nefesh ha'yofa, only somebody who's not particular, should eat those eggs. But if we look b'zman hazeh, obviously most eggs that are sold nowadays are safin da'ara. So the question is, yet we all eat those eggs. And the question is, how do we eat those eggs if the Gemara says nefesh ha'yofa ta'ichlim? From here, the Pri Chodesh and the Steichemid make a very interesting point. They say when we speak about the lav about Tishaksu, that we're not allowed to do something which is disgusting, which is revolting, it's extremely subjective. And what's Baal Teshaksu to me may not be Baal Teshaksu to someone else. And what our Gemara is teaching us is that only to someone who it is Baal Teshaksu should not eat those eggs. But someone, like most people, Bezman Hazeh, would have, obviously have no problem with such eggs, may eat those eggs. There are, however, places that suggest that even though, as we clearly indicated, by something like eggs, we see it's a subjective, certain things are clearly in the category of Baal Teshaksu. If you have a sheretz, if you have an insect or a worm, which is a kosher, not usher, in a situation where it's not usher, the place can say eating that will always be in the category of Baal Teshaksu, even if you say it's not revolting to you. Continues the Mishnah. If you find an egg, shenitz nimtzal lekar dam, that has on it some blood, sarik sadam, you should throw out the blood, v'ichlas ashar, and eat the rest of the egg. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, says Rabbi Yirmiyah, where is the blood that's found on the egg a problem? V'hu shenimtzal kasha shalo, if it's found at the part on the white, on the round part of the egg. Because that's where you find the sperm of the chicken. And that's where the chick begins to form. And therefore, if you have blood only on that spot, so that spot you're not going to be allowed to eat. But the rest of the egg, you'll have to discard that blood, but you're going to be allowed to eat the rest of the egg. But if the blood is already found in the yellow of the egg, so that means that the blood has spread throughout the entire egg. And once the blood has spread throughout the entire egg, you're not allowed to eat that egg. It says the Maratani Dostoy Avodah Rav Struki, Loi Shana Shnimtza El Chalbun Shlo. The entire problem is when can we just throw out the blood? It's found on the white. Ava nimtza chum shloi. If it's found on the yellow, filo shar bay, filo bay asura, my tam de shoda tekla bakula, the blood has spread. Amle regvil bay kossel. Ipcha tana tanaka bay debaya. We learned just the opposite in front of a baya, that the only time we can be lenient is if the blood is found on the yellow, not on the white. Vabayu de tarsun ala hachi, and a baya changed it. That, and he reversed that it's only a problem when it's found, that if it's only on the white, it's less of a problem, not on the yellow. So, of course, this is a most important discussion. What is the halacha about dam on a blood? So many, there's machlokes rishonim. What is the halacha if you found blood on an egg? Is it also midaraisa, or it's also only midarabonim? Certainly, the question, the halacha is that blood that's found on an egg, which is safna da arab, which is egg that will never fertilize into a chicken, is certainly not awesome with the raisa. The halacha still is that we don't eat any blood, we don't eat any egg that comes, we don't eat any egg that has blood on it from any type of chicken. But the evidence, if you just throw out the blood, it's enough. But, of course, since we're saying it's after the arrow, it's much less of a halacha. The Ramosha writes that even though most eggs, as we've been saying, the halacha is come from eggs that are after the arrow, if you see blood on an egg, that you should throw it out. But the obligation of checking the eggs is much less serious when we know that the egg is safna da arah. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, it says about checking eggs, you only have to check them by day, not by night. The Masham and most places can say that nowadays, where we have good light, we should check eggs. We should check the eggs both by day and both by night. And as I say, if you have an egg that has blood, we throw it out. The question is that if somebody borrowed an egg from someone else and he opens up that egg and he sees that the egg has blood in it, and as we're learning, The minig is that such an egg is disposed. And the question that the Paiskim discuss is, I borrow an egg from somebody, and now if I turned out that it's an egg that's not usable because it has blood, am I obligated to return another egg, or I have no such obligation? Both I saw Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal and the Shevet Alevi, Rav Osner, say you don't have to return the egg because I didn't get something from you that has any value. Rav Osner even says a sharper expression. Rav Osner wants to suggest that if you return an egg that had blood in it and you return a good egg, it might be a question of ribis. Says the Gemara, Amar Chizkiya, Minayin Lebei Tomei Yishi Asur Min HaTorah. How do we know that the egg of a non-kosher bird is also Shenemar? When the Torah speaks about the non-kosher bird, the Torah says Basayana. And the question is, V'chi Bas Yesh Loi La'ana. The eggs, unlike animals, don't hatch fetuses. They hatch eggs. So on an egg, it's impossible to say ben abas. Says the Gemara, what is meant when the Torah says bas yana? Be'et meya. It's coming to teach us that not only is the yana, which is a non-kosher bird, prohibited, but the egg. But ask the Gemara, who says to say that's pshat in the braisa? Dilma, what the Torah means to say, hainu shemaya, that there's a type of bird that's called yana, and there's another type of bird that's called bas yana. Answers the Gemara Sakadatuch, the Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Bas Amil Achsa Kiena Bemidbar. So the Pasuk, when it says, it speaks about these birds, they're called Yenim and not Bas not Bas Yenim. Asma Loiva Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Emicha, Azois Espe Valila, El Cheshol V'Oraim, Esa Mispet Betana, V'Evil Kibinois Yana. So we see that there is something called a bas yana. So the more what that pasuk means to say is kiyana. The pasuk means that they will mourn just like kiyana shem sabel sabanao, that it mourns over its children. V'ksiv, but there's another pasuk that says v'shach nisham bas yana. Again, says the Gemara, means kiyana zesh shekhanes embanao. It's like a yana that dwells with its children. But ask the Gemara, there's another pasuk that says v'ksiv techabia. So says the Gemara, they were talking about a beya. Ask the Gemara, beya bas mei mishira here. He's talking about the shira that they all say. If it's still only in the category of a beya doesn't say shira. So the Gemara at this point is still considering that the bas yana has nothing to do with the egg, but rather it has to do as a separate type of animal, a type of bird that's called a bas yana. Tosfos quotes a Gemara Masechta Bechairis that says that kol hayotze min hatamei tamei, that something that's a product of something non-kosher is not kosher. So if we're saying that the pasuk means bas yana, the eggs, why would we need a special pasuk to say that it's not kosher? It should automatically be included in the category of kol hayotze min hatamei tamei. So Tosfos quotes the Behag, who says that the pasuk is not necessary to teach us that the eggs of a non-kosher bird are prohibited. If not for this pasuk, we would thought that all eggs are usur because of eva min hachai. The pasuk of bas yana is coming to teach us that there's only a concern by the eggs of a non-kosher bird. The eggs of a kosher bird are permitted. Tosfos, however, says, I don't need this pasuk, as we said earlier in our shir, to teach us that the eggs of a kosher bird are mutter. Because as we said, we know that from the mitzvah Shluch HaKain, where the Torah says, Asabonim tikachlach, that we're allowed to keep the egg. So Tosfos says a different pshat. Tosfos says, the pasuk of Bas Yana is to teach us that the eggs of a non-kosher bird are forbidden, because we would have thought that the pasuk of Shluch HaKain is teaching us that not only are eggs permitted, but we would think that the eggs of all birds, even of non-kosher birds, are permitted. It's the non-kosher bird that's prohibited. But maybe the egg, even of a non-kosher bird, should be permitted, teaches based on the limur of Shluach HaKan. That's why we have a pasuk to say that Shluach HaKan, that teach us that eggs are permitted, is only for the eggs of a kosher bird, not for the eggs of a non-kosher bird. The Chasam Sofer says that the flesh of an ostrich and is tough and dry like a piece of wood. And since they eat pieces of glass and metal, says the Evan Ezra that the Torah is teaching us when it talks about an yana, an ostrich, bas yana, because the flesh of a grown yana is already tough and not edible. Says the Chasam Sofer that the eggs of an ostrich are not prohibited because of kol hayotzim min hatameh, tameh. Because if it's not edible, then the issa kol hayotzim min hatameh, tameh won't be applicable. So that's why we need a pasuk to teach us that even though the yana is not usur, if it's not edible, the eggs are still usur. The Rambam says that the whole rule that we know, that we often apply in Shas, of kol hayotzim min hatameh, tameh, is actually learned from the bas hayana. The Magen Mishnah comes says that the pasuk bas yana is coming to teach us that somebody who eats a non-kosher egg gets malchus, because it's in the same category as eating a non-kosher bird. And just like if someone were chas v'sham to eat a non-kosher bird, he would get malchus. The pasuk is teaching us the same halacha applies to the egg of a non-kosher bird is also subject to malchus.